is what heaven looks like. It's people from all over the world, and we have it all in one place. It's just such a joy to us to have this, and it's a real privilege and honour to have churches that look like this. It's just fantastic. So good. I was hoping for 2020 that I would actually get perfect vision, that I would be healed and not need to have any contacts or glasses. I'm quite blind without them. But alas, it didn't happen. I'll keep praying. So this morning I've been praying into what message to bring to you, and Pastor Nigel will be talking about our vision next week, which is stronger. That's our theme for this year. Last year it was freedom. This year Pastor Nigel is declaring stronger. And so this message is like a prelude to what Pastor Nigel will share next week on the vision. And I've titled my message, I thought, you know what, us Australians, when we name things, we see a brown snake, what do we call it? A brown snake. If we see a black snake, it's a black snake. So the message of that I've called this morning is strong faith. It's very basic. It's exactly what it means, strong faith. And as I was praying for all of you and praying for this message, you know, God really impressed upon me that He is leading all of you to have a stronger faith. I know you have a strong faith, but he is really developing and building a stronger faith in all of you. And as we go through these four areas, these four elements that I will be talking to you this morning about, that you would have an understanding of how you can be stronger in your faith, of how you can have such a strong, just solid faith. And so these four areas are faith in His Word, faith in His power, faith in His visions, and faith in His voice. It's unusual. Usually I choose passages of Scripture and try to do exegetical preaching, which is choosing a part of Scripture and just preaching in detail about that. And this message is very different, where the Lord just impressed upon me parts of the Word to draw out and I guess put a spotlight on and an emphasis on for different reasons. And I'm trusting in His Holy Spirit leading and what He's going to do in that process as I bring His Word to you this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it's Your Word that pierces our hearts and speaks to us. I thank You, Father God, that I'm just a vessel just imparting Your Word this morning, and I pray that by Your power Your Word would go forth and be received this morning in every single person here. I thank You for what You have for every single person here, a deposit that You're going to put in them by Your Word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, that we would receive His Word. So Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 2, the famous passage on faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people of old earned a good reputation. Faith is the confidence that we hope for that will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Faith is having hope in the things that we cannot see, but that they will happen. That is our faith. And Hebrews 11 continues to describe and talk about different people from the Old Testament and how they had developed a good reputation because of their faith. Because of their faith in the things that they hoped for, that they hadn't seen yet but did happen. And even those promises that God gave to those people that they saw partially fulfilled, but they didn't see the complete fulfillment of His promises, but they still had faith and they still walked by faith. Hebrews 11 continues to talk about Abel, who gave an honourable offering to God. Enoch, who was taken by God, he didn't die. God just zapped him up. Because of his faith. because he pleased God. It was by faith that Noah built the ark. That just amazes me, that Noah heard from God and spent many years building this ark by faith. Can you imagine the ridicule that he would have received by the people around him? In the faith that he had to have in what he hadn't seen yet, but he was following God's word. It was by faith that Abraham left his homeland and lived in a different place that God had promised him. It was by faith that Isaac came to being his son. Even though he had been barren for many, many years, his wife had been barren for many, many years. It was by faith that Moses led the Israelites out of slavery through the Red Sea on dry ground. And, you know, Hebrews 11 talks about the many people who also suffered for their faith, who were tortured, who were persecuted, who were killed because of their faith. But they knew that they had hope for the unseen. They knew that their eternity was in heaven. And so it was easy to still stand by their faith. The promise of a heavenly home gave them strong faith. And we are encouraged to keep a passionate, enduring faith, going forward each day with a strong faith, confident that Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith. That is what we're called to do. So the first element of a strong faith is faith in his word. I want to read you Hebrews 4 verses 12 to 16 where it says, "The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." This is a confronting scripture. God sees everything. He sees your innermost thoughts. He sees your innermost desires. He sees everything. Everything. And the word of God is alive and powerful, and it cuts right through to the core of our heart. The second part of the scripture is such a beautiful part of the scripture where the word says, So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You see, despite God knowing every single detail about what you think and what you do and what you feel and what you say, we are to come boldly before him because Jesus knows and understands everything that we experienced. He came to earth and he experienced all those human weaknesses and struggles that we faced. He died on the cross and took all of the sin and damage and pain upon him. So he knows what you're going through. He knows everything. And because of Christ, we can come boldly before our God. That's what his word says. Come boldly. Come with confidence. Come with courage. Come to me and know that I will be merciful to you. And I will extend grace to you. And as we come boldly to the throne of God, and as we engage in his word, that the word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, that is alive and powerful, will transform your heart and your mind and your soul and your being. So we can have faith in his word because of Jesus. who understands us, who makes it possible for us to come to Father God, where we will experience his grace, mercy, and love. And the word of God is also used in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The word of God brings us on the path of righteousness. It brings correction. It brings discipline. I know I don't like it at times, but I know it's good for me. And I know, and I would want to invite God to speak into my heart and bring correction where there needs to be correction, and to examine every part of my heart and just everything, so that I can confess sin, so that I can walk in the ways that he has called me to. We are all on this path of being perfected in our faith. And the word of God, being alive and powerful, teaches us, shows us, and prepares and equips us to do everything that God has called you to do. It's a powerful, powerful word. There's a story recorded in the Gospels of a Roman official, a Roman centurion, where God is amazed by his faith. He is amazed by his faith, his great faith, his strong faith. And I want to read to you from Luke 7. This also appears in Matthew 8, but in Luke 7, verses 1 to 10, let me read you this story. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At the time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with him. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. To give you context, the Roman leaders, the Roman officers, were not considered to be nice people. They were usually heartless and quite brutal and abused their position of power. This leader would have overseen about 100 people. But this Roman officer, we see, didn't do that. He actually had great relationship with the Jewish people. And he cared for one of his slaves. He cared for one of his servants underneath him. And in his position of authority, he knew in the earthly position of authority that whatever orders he gave or whatever commands he gave, it would happen. The people would obey him. His servant, his slave, was very, very sick. Very, very sick. He was paralyzed. He was in a lot of pain. If you saw this person, you would think, "Oh my goodness, this is bad. This is really, really bad. This is terrible. He probably will die." But the Roman centurion knew. He knew the power that Jesus had in his word. All that Jesus had to say was, "Be healed," and it would be done. That's how great his faith was. It's not the degree of faith or the percentage of his faith. It's the fact that he trusted and had faith in Jesus because he knew what Jesus said was true. And so he asks this question. He sends the Jewish people to go and ask Jesus to heal this slave, and also has such great thoughts of thinking, well, maybe there's other people that need healing too. So you know what? Don't worry. It's okay. You don't need to come. You just say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. That's faith. He did not need to be physically present to heal that person. That's the type of faith that I want you guys to have. Where Jesus is amazed, where he is shocked by the faith that you have. Where he goes, wow, you know my word and you trust my word. So then the things that I'm praying for according to my word, you know will happen because you have great faith. I have great faith. I know that it is God who builds this church. I know that amidst of uncertainty, that it is God who is building his church. And I have great faith for this campus. I know that this campus is going to go from strength to strength this year. That's the faith that I have because I know his word and what his word says is true. I will build my church. The enemy will not prevail. It is firmly grounded on the blood of Jesus. The things that, you know, as I've been praying and the Lord has really impressed upon me, I can't shake it, that we are going to be such a presence in the community at both campuses, not just Wellard, at both campuses, that we will be a presence in the community, that God is bringing stability to C3 Wellard, incredible stability to C3 Wellard. And he gave me a picture, you know, we were talking, I think last week, was it this week, I can't remember, Mel, about our staff and with our key leaders about what are the things that you're hoping for and believing for this year. And the word stability keeps coming to my mind, and as God has been speaking into that, it's actually stability through people being empowered and strengthened and released into the call of God. That's where we will see stability. It's not based on one person or two people. It's based on the whole body of Christ. It's based on him empowering and lifting people up, releasing them, strengthening them, and equipping them, and seeing them bring that stability. I'm so excited for this year. So excited for this year and what's going to happen. So faith in his word. The second part, faith in his power. God is powerful. My word, how many stories do we read of God's power? How many ways that God displays his magnificence? We see Moses part the Red Sea. God did that to show that I am a powerful God. I mean, there were walls of water on either side as the Israelites just walked through. That is powerful. Can you imagine what that would look like? Being in a situation where you think you're going to be caught by the enemy and be a slave again, and God provides a way. You know, I read that story recently in one of the devotions, and how God actually is leading the Israelites and is in front of them. But when they approach the Red Sea, God goes behind them and protects them. And then they walk through. God's got your back. God protects you. He is a powerful God. So the story that I want to share with you about God's power is from Mark 5, 24 to 34. Let's read this together. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Some translations say touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." It was her faith that healed her. This woman who experienced 12 years of bleeding, she would have been isolated, she would have been ostracized. It would have been incredible shame and lonely place to be, discouragement, a chronic disease that she had that couldn't be healed, that she spent all her money on. And it took faith for her to go through these crowds, to actually press forward and be desperate enough to know that she could be healed. This woman had to really, fight her way through these crowds to get to Jesus, just to touch the edge of his garment. And knowing how powerful Jesus is, that just touching even a tiny amount of his garment, she would be healed. By faith, she would be healed. We need to be desperate. We need to have such a desperate trust and act out of courageous faith to see God move. Faith for the impossible to be possible. Faith to overcome. Faith to be healed. The Lord chose this particular story to share about God's power, because I believe there are people here that have been suffering for a long time, whether it's an emotional shame or something like that, or whether there's a mental illness or whatever it is. It's something that's chronic. It's something that you've been experiencing for the long time. And by your faith, God will bring healing to you today, just like this woman received healing. God is powerful. As we sang early this morning, just one touch and we are healed. Just one touch from God and he can break addictions and he can bring relief to you. He can take away that suffering. And I was thinking about this woman. She was instantly healed of this physical ailment, but she had to walk that out. She had to go and reestablish in the community. She had to walk her faith out. Yes, I am healed. And stay in that place of I am healed. And now I will walk in. You know what? I'm going to get work. I'm going to continue walking in faith and walking in this freedom. The third part, faith in his visions. So God speaks to us with his voice and visions. They go hand in hand together, and I've separated them this morning. But I just want to give some distinction and clarity to faith in his visions. So we read in Genesis 15:1, "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.'" So this is Abraham before he was named Abraham. Now, God had promised a son for Abraham, who him and his wife Sarah, we know, had been waiting for many, many years. And God says to him in a vision, do not be afraid, Abraham, I will protect you. Your reward will be great. And Abraham's response to that is, "Well, I don't see it, God. What are blessings worth anyway if I don't have a son to share it with? You promised me a son, and right now there's nothing. So I'm not very happy. What's the point in a reward or protection? Because I don't have anyone to share it with." He complains to God. And God could have instantly opened up Sarah's womb and given them a son right there and then. But he doesn't. Instead, We read a little bit later in verses 4 to 6. Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir." Abraham thinks, "It'll have to be my servant that will be my heir because I haven't conceived any children naturally. For you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, so Abraham's in his tent. The Lord takes him outside. "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. God gave Abraham a vision. God spoke to him and gave him a vision. And it was by faith that Abraham trusted in the voice of God, in the vision that was spoken to him, that he would have a son of his own, that he would have more descendants than the skies that he could count in the sky. Abraham had to wait another 10 years before his son Isaac was born. It takes time sometimes to see the vision fulfilled, and this was only part of the fulfillment of the vision. Our faith is strong when we trust God's visions, promises, and dreams he gives us for our life. God speaks to us in many different types of visions. They go hand in hand with his voice. He speaks of the future. He gives us direction. He speaks visions for the things that you have in your heart, the desires that you have in your heart. God will give you visions for those as well. We need to be seeking to hear the voice of God and the visions that he has for each one of us. You know, there's corporate vision. We know that Pastor Nigel has prayed for this year, and what is the theme? What is the vision for this year? And it's stronger. And so in his role as your senior pastor, he's leading both campuses into this area of strength and stronger. And God also has visions for you as an individual, because God's will is that you would do his will. And so as you seek him, as you ask him to speak to you, as he asks for visions for your life, that he will speak those things to you. He will give you visions of what will happen in the future that you can hope for, that you haven't seen yet, but that will come to pass. I think of Susan Pitar, who, my goodness, now God rescued her out of a civil war country, and many of you here today, younger, you're here today because of that, because of God rescuing her and James and their family and bringing them to this place of safety. But I know that was only part of God's vision for her and her family, because as they were part of C3 Fremantle, that Pastor Andrea and her daughter Sarah went to Liberia and started establishing churches and started putting things like a well and a school and paying for staff to teach there. See, our vision can be for us to, as in Susan's case, to rescue her and her family and put her in a place of safety. Yes, that was a vision for her and her family, but that was only part of it. See, the visions for us is bigger than what we can think or imagine. I can't count how many churches we have in Liberia, Sierra Leone. There are so many. Hey, there are so many. God is so good. We've been able to do and accomplish incredible things because of his great power and his great love and his children following him and having faith in him and being obedient to him. So God gives us visions to direct, to guide, to warn, to show his plans and purposes, dreams to speak to us for ourselves, for others, to keep us on his path of righteousness. And his visions give us hope and understanding of who he is. Your kids' pastor, Joy, has an amazing prophetic gift, but it's quite an unusual prophetic gift, where it's often a gift that warns people. And her prophetic gift is so specific, direct and incredibly detailed. It's just amazing the things that she shared with me. But it's a prophetic gift that actually warns people. And when she gives that word to people and they listen to it, wow, you were right. I'm so glad I heard that word of God from you and through you. It's a powerful gift she has. Each one of you has gifts, spiritual gifts to use. Each one of you, as you pray and ask God to give you vision and to speak to you, that He will do that. He will do that. And by faith, you can do as He says. Okay, so coming to the last part, faith in His voice. There are so many stories in the Old Testament of how the Lord spoke to His people, who by faith listened to what the Lord said to do. And as I said before, God speaks specifically, directly, concisely. It's in a lot of detail. You know, He told King Solomon how to build the temple. The measurements, the materials, just everything. It's incredible how detailed and specific God is when He speaks to us. And how we follow the Lord, how we follow His voice is by faith. It's by staying connected to Him. It's to listen for His voice, to have an ear to hear. And we hear Him speak to us through His word, through the word of God that is alive and powerful. John 10:27-28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. We are His children as we follow God, as we follow our Lord. He knows you by name. Listen to His voice. Follow Him. Follow Him. And there's a passage of scripture that I want to bring your attention to you in Hebrews 3:7. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Now you may think, well, I follow Jesus, so I know my heart can't be hardened. But a few months ago, the Holy Spirit prompted me very strongly to make a decision not to do something, to go to a different place. And in my heart and my head, I heard the voice of God very clearly, but I dismissed it. I said to God, no, it's fine. Where I'm going is fine. It's a safe place. It's okay. That decision where I hardened my heart and I didn't listen to His voice, and I went to the place that He said, don't go, it turned out to be a dangerous and painful situation that I'm still walking out of. Don't harden your heart. When you hear the voice of the Lord speak to you, out of experience, just follow it, just obey it. It may sound a little bit illogical or doesn't make sense. Just like when Noah was asked to build the ark, it wouldn't have made any sense to him at the time, but we follow His voice. We keep our hearts soft. We don't harden our hearts towards Him. If I could get the worship team up, that would be fantastic. So it may not be easy to obey His voice. In fact, when God speaks to you and gives you visions, it can be a challenge to walk that out. It takes great courage and great faith to follow God, to obey Him. And I want to encourage you today to keep standing firm on His word, on the vision that He gives you, on the voice of the Lord that speaks to you. To stand firm, to stand strong, to have a strong faith. God impressed in me many, many years ago to pray for a son. And I laugh because at the time, it was just such a flippant prayer. God, I know it's a desire of my husband to have a son, and we have three beautiful girls, and we weren't even thinking of having any more children. But I just prayed it anyway. I just prayed because I knew that was desire of Richard's heart. And then I think a couple of years later, had a surprise pregnancy and was in denial for a few months of it. And God's so good. You know, he gave me faith to pray for our son Logan. He gave me a vision. Even though I didn't expect it or was okay if it didn't happen, I still prayed for it and he still gave me that vision. And walking through that pregnancy with Logan, we had one scan where the doctor said that he may have Down syndrome. Now, Richard and I are fine to, you know, it wasn't a problem, whatever this child would be, we would be okay. But in my mind, I was thinking, what if this child is sick? What if this child does have a disability? I don't know if I'm strong enough to be the mum that I need to be. I was doubting my parenting, doubting my ability. And so being anxious and worried, would this child be able to be born well at home? You wanted to have this child at home. Would this mean I'd have to be in hospital? Would this child be sick? All these worries and concerns and anxieties. And I would be on the internet researching these articles about the scans that they do and trying to work out if what they were saying was correct about our son. Their conclusion with what they said about Logan was based on the bone in his nose. That's what they said revealed that he would have Down syndrome. And I was getting so caught up in worrying about this child that I had to put all of that aside and I just had to go to God and I said, God, you know the truth about this child that is growing in me. You know exactly what is happening. You know the truth. And I can search for research and I can do all these things, but it is you who know this child that you are forming in my womb. And so I cried out to God and I prayed to God, and God speaks to me in the most unglamorous places. I remember quite clearly I was in a car park and the voice of the Lord was so clear, and it was just him saying, he's okay. That's all he said, he's okay. And the peace that I felt, he's okay. I know he's okay. He is okay, which meant he will be healthy. I don't need to worry or fear. He's okay. Had he said something different, I know the Lord would have spoken great comfort and faith into me to be able to parent this child, whatever. God's voice is powerful. God speaks exactly truth and what we need. When we call out to him, when we cry out to him, he will speak to you. That was the best birth that I ever had. Let me tell you, it was the easiest, the fastest. It was amazing. And we have a great son, don't we? Great blessing from God. That is faith in the unseen. Faith in the unseen. So church, our faith, your faith is strong when it's built on the Word of God, when it's built on His power, when it's built on His visions and His voice. I'm going to conclude with a passage of Scripture from Revelation 1, verses 10 to 19. This is John. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshipping in the Spirit. Suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. It said, write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches in the city of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was something like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face shone like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen." Church, if I can get you to stand up this morning. This passage of scripture reveals that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is powerful, that he is resurrected and alive. This is an image of our resurrected Christ, the first and the last. And it's his voice that speaks to John. It's his voice that speaks to you. And it's this vision that Jesus gives. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. Oh God, I want to give this opportunity for people who need to put their faith in our living Son of God, Jesus Christ. Who need to say today, "I am going to invite you to be in my heart today. I'm going to say that I'm sorry for not following you, sorry for not knowing you. And today I'm going to declare that you are Lord of my life. And I'm going to follow you all the days of my life." Church, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me and that you rose again on the third day. I'm sorry for not following you. I receive your forgiveness and invite you to live in my heart all the days of my life. Today I am following you. My faith is in your word. My faith is in your power. My faith is in your vision and your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time in your heart, the word says just to publicly declare that and raise your hand. I will see it and you can put it down again. For those people who have known Christ but have just been doing life your own way, and today you want to say, "I'm making a stand today that my faith is now in you again." If that's you today, just raise your hand. I'll see it and you can put it down again. Be bold, be courageous. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now. The worship team is going to play one last song as we sing. I'm going to be here to pray for people. I want people to come forward in an act of faith just to be available to have an ear to hear and an eye to see those visions that God has for you and how he wants to speak to you today for the year ahead, for your family, for your work, for your school, whatever it is, whatever situation that you're in right now, come forward and pray that God will give you a vision, that you would hear his voice today. And anybody who needs prayer, please, I want to pray for you. If you need healing today, I want to come forward in faith. Let's have a great year of having strong faith. Strong faith. Amen.